Imagine hitting send on a simple email.
Yeah, just a standard message.
And instead of that satisfying digital whoosh, you suddenly realize you have to build this massive, heavily armed, constantly monitored digital fortress just to get that single message out the door.
That sounds completely exhausting.
It really does. But I mean, for decades, that was the harsh reality of running your own digital infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
So today we are talking about taking back control of that infrastructure.
Yeah.
And to do that, we really need to recognize the supporter of this deep dive, which is SafeServer.
Right, because taking back control is a big step.
Exactly. You know, organizations constantly default to renting these incredibly expensive proprietary tools from mega vendors.
Like Microsoft or Google.
Yeah, exactly, for their daily communications, mostly because building that fortress just seems too hard. But SafeServer actually helps replace those massive systems with cost-effective open source solutions.
Which is so important today.
It is, especially when you're dealing with legal, regulatory, or compliance requirements. Things like strict email retention policies, financial record audit trails, or, you know, rigorous data protection.
Data sovereignty becomes totally non-negotiable there.
Right. You need to know exactly where your data lives and, frankly, who holds the keys to it. So SafeServer guides organizations through that entire process.
From the very beginning.
From the initial consulting phase, yeah, to finding the exact right open source software fit, right through to actually operating your systems on highly secure German servers. You can explore all those possibilities at www.safeserver.de.
Well, taking back that control usually starts with understanding the tools you're actually using. Hmm. I mean, most of us interact with email every single day, but we treat it like a total black box. The underlying mechanics are just, you know, completely hidden from view.
Well, we are opening up the hood on that black box today.
Yeah.
We're looking at a really fascinating piece of the internet's invisible plumbing.
Oh, yeah, the DEMA project.
Exactly. We're diving into a GitHub repository for a project called DEMA, which stands for the Dragonfly Mail Agent. And the documentation really positions this software as a very beginner-friendly entry point into open source infrastructure.
Which is rare in this space.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's designed specifically for home and office use. It basically strips away the massive walls of code that usually intimidate people when they hear words like, you know, mail server.
Right, because the first barrier to entry in this space is almost always the terminology.
Oh, for sure. It's alphabet soup.
Yeah. The documentation relies on this very specific sort of historical division of labor in email architecture. It separates the whole process into MTAs and MUAs.
Okay, so the source defines DEMA as a small mail transport agent, or MTA, and its designated job is to accept mail from a locally installed mail user agent.
That's the MUA.
Right, the MUA,
yeah.
And then deliver it either locally or to a remote destination. Let's try to ground that in the physical space for a second.
I think an analogy would definitely help here.
So think of the MUA as the person sitting at their desk, right? They're writing a letter, putting it in an envelope, and actually writing the address on the front.
So that's your Outlook, your Apple Mail, your Thunderbird interface.
Exactly. And the MTA, the mail transport agent, is basically the mailroom down the hall. It takes that sealed envelope from you, figures out the logistics, and literally loads it onto a truck to leave the building.
The mailroom analogy works conceptually, but I'd add one major caveat there.
What's that?
This digital mailroom never sleeps. It handles thousands of envelopes a second, and the roads it drives on are basically constantly collapsing.
Oh, meaning network outages.
Precisely. If we look at why this division of labor even exists, it comes down to asynchronous processing.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
Well, if your desktop mail program, your MUA, had to handle the actual physical delivery of every single email across the global internet, your entire workflow would just grind to a halt.
Because it's waiting on the other end.
Right. Imagine hitting send, but the receiving server in Tokyo happens to be temporarily down. Or a router in the Midwest drops a packet.
Your desktop program would just freeze.
Exactly. You'd be staring at a spinning wheel, completely locked out of your inbox while the software repeatedly tries to establish a connection.
So the local software, the MUA, just hands the envelope to the mailroom and immediately walks away.
Yeah, the user gets to keep typing the next email.
While the MTA takes on the whole burden of waiting in line.
The MTA takes on the entire burden of network latency and failure states. It queues the message. It initiates all the complex digital handshakes with remote servers.
And if a connection fails?
It schedules a retry for 10 minutes later or maybe an hour later. By focusing purely on that logistical transport side, Dima acts as a highly specialized, incredibly lightweight courier.
Right, it doesn't care about the font you used.
No, not at all. It strips out anything related to formatting text, managing address books, or organizing folders. It handles routing and delivery, full stop.
And that brings up a really fascinating limitation detailed right there in the project's own GitHub README.
The disclaimer.
Yeah. They state explicitly that Dima is not intended as a replacement for real big MTAs like SendMail or PostFix.
Which is refreshing honesty.
It is. And they highlight a very specific technical boundary. Dima does not listen on port 25 for incoming connections.
Right. And just for context, port 25 is the standard entry point for incoming email traffic across the global internet.
It's the front door.
Exactly. When a server wants to hand an email to another server, it basically knocks on port 25.
But wait, if this software intentionally ignores incoming connections on the main email port, it sounds like we're building half a bridge here.
How do you mean?
Well, a mail tool for a home or office seems fundamentally broken if it explicitly refuses to receive mail from the outside world. Why would you want that?
You really have to view this through the lens of modern internet security. The internet is exceptionally noisy. I mean, it is saturated with automated botnets constantly scanning every single IP address in existence, just looking for open doors.
Right.
Opening port 25 on a server is basically the equivalent of hanging a giant neon sign outside your house that says, I accept anonymous packages.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there are IT veterans who still wake up in cold sweats remembering the early days of server hosting, you know.
Oh, the open relay days.
Yes. You'd accidentally leave port 25 open, misconfigure one tiny setting, and you'd come back from lunch to find your server had been completely hijacked by a botnet.
Just blasting out emails.
Yeah, it just emailed half of Europe a massive spam campaign for prescription pills.
That is the exact nightmare scenario. Within minutes of opening port 25, automated scripts will probe your server looking for an open relay.
They just want to use your resources.
Exactly. They want to exploit your hardware to blast out spam while masking their own identity. Defending against that requires a heavily fortified infrastructure.
Which Dima is not.
No, not at all. To defend port 25, you need complex configuration files, real-time spam filtering, IP reputation management, constant monitoring.
All the heavy lifting.
Right. That is the job of a real big MTA like SendMail or PostFix. They are designed to stand on the front lines and fight off those botnets.
So removing the doorbell entirely is the actual security strategy here.
Exactly.
By not listening on port 25, DMA simply removes the attack sector. It cannot be targeted by external spam or automated open relay attacks because it literally just refuses to acknowledge anyone knocking from the outside.
It acts as a quiet, outbound-only workhorse for your local network.
But who only needs outbound mail?
You'd be surprised. A massive amount of infrastructure requires outbound email without ever needing to receive it.
Like what?
Think about it. Your backup server needs to email you a success log at 2 a.m. Your internal web application needs to send a password reset link to a user.
Oh, right, or an alert.
Exactly. A temperature sensor in a server closet needs to fire off an emergency alert. None of those systems ever need to receive replies.
That makes total sense.
So Dima takes the mail generated by those local machines and securely delivers it out to the world, completely bypassing the massive configuration overhead required to defend a public-facing inbox.
Okay, so knowing that it's an outbound-only courier operating behind closed doors, we need to look at the mechanism of how it actually hands that mail off to the rest of the world.
Security in transit.
Right. Because the internet doesn't give you a free pass on modern encryption just because your software footprint is small. If you are transmitting passwords or sensitive server alerts, the data must be secure in transit.
And balancing a tiny software footprint with the mathematical density of modern encryption is a massive engineering challenge.
Well, the repository files outlined exactly how Dima handles this. The documentation specifically highlights TLS and SSL support, along with SMTP authentication.
Which is standard modern security.
Yeah, and we can see the proof in the source code files, you know, names like crypto.c, base64.c, and auth.conf. But the language breakdown in the repositories is what really caught my eye here.
The C code.
Yeah. The project is overwhelmingly written in the C programming language.
Yeah.
It sits at about 87.5% C, with a total of 487 commits. That's the number of times developers have updated the code over its lifespan.
C is the foundational language of modern operating systems.
Right,
but
bold, right.
It's powerful, but it places the entire burden of memory management on the human writing the code.
Okay, if you're listening to this and thinking, why do I care about a decades-old coding language? Hang with us for a second, because this is where the vulnerability of early software hits your daily life.
It really does.
Because C requires developers to manually allocate and free up computer memory, right?
Yes.
One microscopic typo, like one forgotten line of code to clear a memory block, and a malicious actor can overflow that memory to inject their own code, completely compromising the server.
It happens all the time in poorly written C.
So how does a small home and office tool safely manage complex modern encryption, like TLS transport layer security, using a language notorious for manual memory errors in just a handful of files?
The answer there really lies in the architecture of the code base and the principle of modularity.
Modularity.
Yeah. If you look at the file list, you've got crypto.c and base64.c sitting right alongside net.c for networking and mail.c for routing logic.
Okay, so it's broken up.
Exactly. Mm. And crucially, Dema does not attempt to invent its own encryption algorithms from scratch.
Which would be a bad idea.
Oh, writing custom cryptography in C is universally considered a terrible idea by security professionals.
Leave it to the experts.
Yeah, right. Instead, Dema's C code acts as a highly efficient bridge. It interfaces directly with the existing battle-tested security libraries already installed in your operating system, like OpenSSL.
Ah, so it's like a small storefront that doesn't try to build its own bank vault out of plywood.
I like that analogy.
It just builds a secure pneumatic tube that routes the transactions to the massive, impenetrable bank vault next door.
That's exactly it. The code footprint stays incredibly lean because it offloads all the heavy mathematical lifting to the system.
Which is smart.
It is. And this leanness is actually its greatest security asset. When you only have a handful of C files doing very specific tasks, the code becomes auditable.
Right. You mentioned it has 487 commits.
Yeah, a dedicated developer could easily read through the entirety of Dema's code base over a weekend. They can trace exactly how data flows from the local spool, which is essentially the digital outbox waiting area on your machine right out to the network.
Whereas a larger program...
Oh, auditing a legacy behemoth like SendMail with its labyrinth of configuration macros and literally thousands of source files, that can take teams of experts months.
Yeah, you can't hide a malicious backdoor or a glaring memory leak in a 10-page document as easily as you can bury it in a 10,000-page manual. The simplicity ensures that your home or office server can securely authenticate with remote destinations, proving who you are to Google or SafeServer or wherever you're routing the mail without bloating your local system with unnecessary code.
It is a textbook application of the Unix philosophy.
Which is?
Write small programs that do one thing, do it exceptionally well, and make sure they can talk to other programs.
Love that. Okay, so the code is lean and auditable, but source code doesn't send emails. Running software does.
True.
And historically, turning raw C code into a running application was a brutal barrier to entry for anyone trying to self-host their own infrastructure.
Oh, it was a nightmare. You had to download the raw text files, ensure you had the correct compilers installed, decipher complex prerequisite libraries.
Just reading that hurts my brain.
And then you'd run the build process, basically just praying it didn't terminate with a cryptic error on line 4000.
Well, the building section of the Dema README actually still contains those old school instructions.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. It outlines the process of compiling, you know, using a program to translate human-readable C code into the binary machine instructions your computer processor actually understands.
Right, the make commands.
Yeah, for Linux, it tells you to type make. For BSD systems, it's CD, BSD, and then make.
And then the installation.
Oh, man. Then comes the installation command. It's like make install, send mail link, mail clink install, spool dirs install, etc.
It's a lot.
It looks like an ancient incantation. You are manually telling the computer where to put the executable files, how to link them, and exactly where to create the spool directories.
And the problem is, one incorrect permission setting on just one of those directories and the entire mail agent fails silently.
Just dead in the water.
Yeah.
But, and this is the best part, the documentation highlights a massive shift in how we deploy this kind of software today.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, you don't actually have to type any of those make commands anymore.
Our package managers.
Exactly. The project lists the exact simple commands used by modern package managers. So on FreeBSD, you open your terminal and type pkg install dema. On Ubuntu, which is arguably the most popular distribution for home servers, it's just sudo apt install Dima.
And Arch Linux.
Arch users type yart-dmar.
It's amazing. A single command line execution basically replaces an hour of manual compiling and directory configuration.
The contrast is staggering for anyone who's intimidated by server administration. I mean, instead of reading a sprawling manual to compile source code, you type three words, hit enter, and in about 5 seconds, a fully functioning secure mail transport agent is actively running on your machine.
This is exactly where we see the invisible labor of the open source community at work.
How so?
Well, the repository statistics you mentioned earlier hold the key to this ease of use.
All right, so it has 255 stars and 54 forks, which indicates active interest and experimentation from other developers. But more importantly, it lists 34 direct contributors.
Those 34 contributors are the bridge. They're the bridge between the complex C code and that simple apt install command.
They're the package maintainers.
Exactly. They took the original developer's code, they ran those complex make commands, figured out exactly which directories the files need to live in for Ubuntu, configured all the exact security permissions required, and bundled it all into a neat downloadable package.
So they absorbed the friction.
Yes, they absorbed all the friction so the end user doesn't have to deal with it.
And honestly, their labor is exactly why Dima is prominently featured on the Awesome Self-Hosted list.
That's a great list.
It is. For those who don't know, that list is a highly curated directory of software, specifically chosen because it respects user privacy and allows individuals to reliably run their own digital lives.
And software does not make that list if it requires a computer science degree just to keep it running.
Definitely not. Being included means Dima is trusted by a community that really prioritizes self-reliance and stability.
It democratizes infrastructure. You know, you no longer need a dedicated IT department to handle your internal server routing. The barrier to entry has essentially vanished.
And lowering that barrier fundamentally changes the strategic calculation for organizations of all sizes.
Absolutely.
If setting up specialized infrastructure is this accessible, relying on bloated proprietary ecosystems is no longer a mandatory cost of doing business. Which, you know, really brings us back to the core mission of SafeServer.
Right, because when the technical friction disappears, you can make decisions based on your actual needs rather than just technological lock-in.
Exactly. So a growing business, a nonprofit association, or really any group managing their own data might just need a lightweight tool like Dima to quietly handle internal server alerts.
Or they might need something bigger.
Right. They might need a comprehensive open source alternative to replace their entire expensive proprietary email suite across 100 employees.
Yeah.
But in both scenarios, the cost-saving potential is immense.
You're not trapped.
No. You do not have to pay per user, per month licensing fees to tech conglomerates just to route internal communications. And more importantly, you maintain total sovereignty over your data.
Which is critical.
But transitioning away from those massive vendors can still feel daunting, which is exactly why SafeServer can be commissioned for consulting. They assess your specific operational needs and help you find and implement the right open source architecture.
Whether it's an intricate setup for a massive enterprise or just a simpler alternative for a small team.
Exactly. They ensure the solution fits, and they can even host it on secure German servers. You can explore those consulting and hosting options over at www.safeserver.de.
You know, understanding the mechanics of a tool like Dima reveals a really important lesson.
What's that?
Enterprise-grade reliability doesn't always require enterprise-grade bloat.
That is so true. We live in an ecosystem where technology companies are constantly pushing to add more. Every simple application on your phone suddenly demands to be an AI assistant, a social network, and a data harvesting platform all simultaneously.
Bloatware and feature creep have basically become the default state of the modern internet.
They really have. Yet, here is this tiny collection of C files, net.c, crypto.c, mail.c, that securely routes encrypted communications across the globe, explicitly refuses to do anything else, and quietly gets out of your way the second its job is done.
It's elegant.
It is. So ask yourself, where else in your digital life might you benefit from replacing a bloated, tracking-heavy behemoth with a specialized, simple tool that just does its job and leaves you alone?